Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
I don't get a chance to do this very often, but I sure enjoy it when I do. We got word, this is a little bit short notice, we got word just a few days back that one of our churches that we helped to plant recently was in need of someone to come and speak this morning. So Pastor Steve went there and boom, you guys give me. So hopefully we can just have a good time this morning together. Once again, I don't get a chance to do this very often, so I don't sit around and just write messages, you know, all the time. I do prepare messages sometimes for youth ministry, things like that, but it's a little bit different and a little more intimidating being up here in front of you guys than it is a bunch of students. So bear with me. But what I want to tell you is I really just want to share what God's been doing in my life and what he's been doing in my quiet time. And over the past week, since I started to kind of prepare for this, I know that I've had an opportunity to share this passage three separate times in three separate instances. And all three times it was important and it was useful. And so maybe in those three people's lives as well as my own, maybe in yours as well, this passage will be useful for you. So basically, I was in my quiet time and I came across Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. So I don't know if you have your iPads, your cell phones, your paper Bibles. Do you believe that people still carry these things around? Paper Bibles, whatever you might have, go ahead and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. And then we're also going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 as well. So basically, it starts out this way. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple." So I read this and I thought, wow, I would like to see God like that. Like, I would love to see God in his fullness in the temple where his robe is filling the entire temple. Like, I would love to see that. So what is going on here? And the more I looked at it, the more I thought, the passage starts with, "In the year King Uzziah died." In the year King Uzziah died. So look, in scripture all the time, they will use references of things like this to refer to certain time frames. For instance, for us nowadays, we might think of, well, when 9/11 happened, I was doing this. So we use it as a point of reference. Or for the older ones in the room, like when JFK was assassinated, I was doing this. But we'll use certain things like this as references in time so that we can always peek back and kind of know what was going on at that time. That's a very real possibility. And quite quite probable that that's what Isaiah was doing. He was using it as a frame of reference. But I wanted to dig in a little bit more. I wanted to know, who in the world is this King Uzziah? I had never heard of him really until this week. So I'm like, well, I probably ought to figure out who this guy is. So I go looking in to find out who in the world was King Uzziah and why, when he died, did something change in Isaiah's perspective. So I went in. Once again, that's in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. If your Bible's just like mine, that's on page 751. Or it's two punches away on your iPad. So King Uzziah, who is King Uzziah? Pastor Steve just came out of an incredible series called Just Like Me that had where he talked a lot about King David. King David, best king of all time. Second, King Uzziah. I'd never heard of him. Anybody else never heard of King Uzziah? I had no idea who this guy was. So I start reading about King Uzziah. And this is what I find out in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. It said, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father, who was just killed." How many of y'all know a 16-year-old? How many of y'all think a 16-year-old make for a good king? If you're not 16, your hands are definitely down. They put a 16-year-old at the seat of king. You know, there's a reason why in the United States of America you have to be at least 35 just to run for president, right? Like, there's a reason. At 16, you're allowed to have your driver's license, but you can't have another kid in the car with you. Like, there's a reason. But at 16, this guy takes over the kingdom. And it says that he reigned for 52 years. And he was a great king. Verse 4 says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father did. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him favor or success. So now I'm looking at this king going, he's a successful king. He loves God. He seeks God. He does what God wants, and he's successful. That's kind of a neat little thing there. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a big fan of the prosperity gospel that would say if you follow God, everything's going to be great, because I would say the scriptures actually say quite the opposite of that when you follow God, there's going to be trials and you're going to just at least have someone to turn to in the midst of those. So, but in this instance, Uzziah followed God and he was successful. If you keep looking, it talks about things that he did. You know, he built towers in the wilderness and dug many cisterns because he had much livestock in the foothills and in the plains. And he had people who worked his fields and the vineyards and the hills and the fertile lands. And he loved the land, it says. He loved the soil. And then down in verse 12, it says that the total members of family leaders over the fighting men, so he had armies, was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,000 men. In 2014, the Navy had, and I'm sure this number is lower now, but the Navy had 327,000 sailors. So this guy had the entire U.S. Navy fleet on his side, backing him up. This is a successful king. It goes on to say that, you know, he had all these spears and helmets and coats of armor and bows and slings for his entire army. Incredibly successful king. But then in verse 16, it says, but after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense at the altar. So King Uzziah, great king, second only to David, becomes prideful because he's been reigning for 52 years. I mean, you know, 52 years as king, and I've got all this. I can do whatever I want. So he decides to go up into the temple and burn incense. Very clearly stated in that time, that's not something that you do, that the priests go in and they do these kind of things, and Uzziah decided he was going to go in and do it anyway. So he goes in, he's burning these incense, and the priests show up, and they're like, what are you doing? You can't do this. And in the middle of their argument, leprosy shows up on his forehead. He's stricken with leprosy just like that. So, of course, the priests want him out, and he's embarrassed by what's going on. He wants out. So they take this great king out of the temple, and they take him out, and he has his own house that he gets to live in, all by himself because he has leprosy, until he dies. Great king. Did incredible things for 52 years from the time he was 16. Loved God. Did everything that God wanted him to do. And then he becomes unfaithful. And then he lives out the rest of his days lonely in a house literally called, let's see, where is that? Literally called leprous. I think there's a lot we can learn from that about doing what God's asked us to do and being obedient to God, and then what happens when we're not. But that wasn't really where everything struck me. I mean, it was good to learn about King Uzziah and to find out all these things, but once again, remembering back in Isaiah chapter 6, it says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. As I go on today, I want you to understand, I'm not trying to say that Uzziah was bad. Uzziah was a great king, made a bad mistake. But what I am trying to tell you is that Uzziah, people were relying on him. people were bringing him up to a whole different level. I'd venture to say that they were really, really leaning on him and not so much on God. And when I look at this passage, I see that when he died, the year that he died, something changed in Isaiah. And his perspective changed. When he walks into the throne room and he sees God high and lifted up, and the train of his robe, mind you, in those days it was very common for a king after he had went to battle to walk through the streets, take a chunk off the train of the robe of the prior king, sew it to his. So the fact that he had this giant robe, huge robe, it just indicates all of the battles that he's already won. It fills the entire temple. And then there's seraphs there, angels, six wings. That's weird. Six wings. And they're flying around. They're covering their eyes. They see God in his holiness and his perfectness. And they're these angels that are with him all the time. And they won't even look at him. Out of respect for him and his majesty, they won't even look at him. They've got their eyes covered with two of their wings. And then the other two are covering their feet. Kind of the way I see it is sort of like, hey, we're here to do whatever you want. Whatever you need us to do, we're here. And they're literally just flying around the throne room, singing out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Just back and forth to one another, singing that out in the presence of God. That's what they're doing. Like, I don't know how many of you have ever said, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God a question. I got a question for him. I don't think you're going to ask him a question. I think you're going to cover your face like this. Isaiah says this, while these guys are flying around and the doorposts are shaking and the temple is being filled with smoke, Isaiah says, woe is me. I'm ruined. I'm ruined. He sees God, the Father, who, big God. Do any of us really recognize how big God is? One of the things that really bothers me about society today is we kind of walk around with this flippant Christianity. Like, Isaiah is a prophet of God. Hear me. Prophet, called by God, prophet, speaking God's words to the people. He sees God in the throne room and just goes, woe is me, I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips. Do we realize how big God is? Or do we just kind of go up to him and we're like I used to hear people talk about, like, God is my homie. Really? Because he could strike you down. Do we realize the majesty of the King of Kings? Isaiah did in that moment. I'm ruined. I'm broken. I don't belong here. I'm not worthy. And then it goes on and says that one of the little angels flies over and he takes this coal off the altar. And he goes to Isaiah and he touches his lips with the coal. It was for the atonement, to make him clean. And verse 8 says, I heard a voice, the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Now, again, I don't want to indicate that Uzziah was evil, but in the context of what I'm going to say, I'll just say that he had been put on a throne that was not his. People were relying on him rather than the King of Kings. And I wonder for us today, once again, this is stuff that I've been working out in my own life, so I'm not trying to call anybody out, but I'm going to just tell you what God's doing in me. And that is, why does Uzziah have to die in this story for Isaiah to see things differently? Why did that have to happen? Once again, I think it's because Isaiah had his eyes on Uzziah and was kind of leaning on him and trusting in him. And, you know, he has all the cattle and all the stuff that you would ever want as an individual. And I think he's leaning on him a little bit. But then I started thinking, That's why I had to die. But what in my life is a Uzziah? What in my life am I leaning on? What in my life am I putting on a throne that isn't rightfully need to be on that throne? And what am I doing in my life that is taking my attention away from God? What is keeping me from seeing God in his fullness? What is keeping me from seeing God do everything that he wants to do in my life? So I ask you that same question. What is it in your life that's keeping you from seeing God in that perspective? You know, maybe it's your pursuit of money and career. Maybe it's that next advancement. But it's so important. I'm going to make an extra $600 a month if I get this one. But my relationship with God, that can be put on the back burner. What's holding you back? Maybe it's just relationships in general. You know, I've spent the better part of the last 20 years serving students in student ministry. I don't know how I do that because I'm definitely getting old. But the last 20 years, pretty much, I've been serving students in student ministry. And I can't tell you how many times a relationship has gotten in the way of a kid and their relationship with God. I cannot tell you how many times that happened. I can't tell you how many times I've sat with parents, cried with parents about their child who's walked away from God because of a relationship with a boy or a girl. I can't tell you how many times I've sat there with a student and kind of explained, what are you doing? But it's not just students that do that, right? I mean, some of you all in here are single, craving that relationship, craving that companionship. And in the companionship that you crave, you're putting God on the back burner. Or maybe it's just the way we treat our spouse or our kids. What is it? What's the Uzziah in your life that needs to die to allow you to see God in his fullness? Maybe your hobbies. You know, maybe your hobbies. Maybe you love to go fishing and camping and do all those cool things, which, by the way, more power to you because I really wish I had the opportunity to do that more. But if it's getting in the way of your relationship with God, it's out of line. Technology? I'm guilty of this one a little bit. I don't play a lot of games on my phone. Do you realize that today, you guys might be shocked by this, more women play video games than men today. More women play video games now than men do. And it's all because of this. Saving those little panda bears, right? You know, candy crushing it, you know. Maybe technology is getting in the way a little bit. I'm guilty, but I've at least built in accountability because I'm cheap. So I play this little baseball game, but I refuse to pay more money to get more at-bats. So I'm good, right? I've built in accountability because I'm cheap. But is technology getting in the way? Are you relying on that instead of your relationship with God? Bound to step on some toes here, but it's okay because that's what I do. What about your kids' sports? Do you remember the day when Sunday was sacred and you did not play a sport on Sunday? Anybody remember those days? What in the world happened? But then again, you couldn't go to Walmart back then either. What about your kids' sports are getting in the way? Once again, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I played sports growing up, loved it. Spent a lot of time, have great relationships from it. But what is getting in the way? You know, if travel ball is that big of a deal and it's getting in the way, save your money because if you do, you're going to have the college education you're trying to gain anyway. Just save the money. And Dave Ramsey would say, put it in a, you know, mutual fund, getting 10%, and you'll be good to go. What's getting in the way? What's getting in the way? How about this one? I know this one. This one is bothering a lot of us right now, and that's Tuesday. Tuesday. Tuesday has become a Uzziah. This election has become a situation where we can't even get along anymore. We can, praise God, I've all but taken a hiatus from Facebook because I don't even know if I like half of you. Right? But is that even the right thing? Like, post what you want to post. But understand that if we can have a conversation, that's a whole different ballgame. But let me share a secret with you about Tuesday. When you wake up Wednesday morning, King of Kings still in charge. Whoever wins this election, it does matter who wins the election. But whoever wins, I need you to know this. God has given them that authority, like it or not. 49% of you hate what I just said. Or you will Wednesday. God has given them that authority. They don't get it unless he gives it. Because he is still in charge. He is still the King of Kings. Do not let our government take a throne that it doesn't deserve. And look, by all means, make sure you go out and vote. If you can't vote for a person, vote for the issues that are important to you. And quite honestly, I don't care who you vote for. Just make sure you exercise that right. Be informed, go vote for the issues that are important to you. Exercise your right to vote. Far too many people have sacrificed for you to have that, to not vote. Vote, please vote. But just keep in mind, Wednesday morning, God's still on the throne, high and lifted up, exalted. And the train of his robe still fills that temple. Actually, he's won a lot of battles. The battles that you're waiting to fight, he's already won those. Look, we have to remove those Uzziahs in our life. We have to. I don't know what it is for you, and I've been struggling and battling it out for me. I can tell you this, one of the things that I feel like God has really struck me with heavy and hard lately is that one of my Uzziahs is complexity. I've allowed everything to become far too complex. I think we do that sometimes with our relationship with God in general. Do you realize that he sent his son to die for you to take away the complexity of having to go to the temple and find a lamb and lay it on the altar and sacrifice it and have priests there burning incense and all that? Do you realize that he took out a bunch of the complexity because he desperately desires a relationship with you? You don't have to go to the temple to sacrifice anything anymore. He already did it for you. The complexity that I have in my life, that I've put in my life, it's all my own fault, and I'm trying to work through it and try to figure out how to take a lot of that out. I wonder how many of you would say, I'm exhausted because my life is so complex and it doesn't need to be. What's the Uzziah in your life that's causing your life to be so complex that you're losing or at least hurting your relationship with God? Will you join with me as we close? Father, this morning, I can't help but think about where Isaiah was, how he felt when he saw you, and that I can only imagine he drops to his knees, Father, in awe of your majesty. Lord, I pray right now that we would come to your altar not with any kind of flippant Christianity, but we would come with the reverence and respect that you as the King of Kings deserves. Lord, when people would go before King Uzziah, they would have to bow their head. They would have to bow their knee. They would have to do whatever it was that he forced them to do out of respect for him. And God, we just come to you right now. And I'm asking you, Father, to reveal the Uzziahs in our life. The things that we rely on, Lord, that are taking your place in our lives, I pray that you help us recognize them and get rid of them. Do that today, God. Even before we leave, help us to recognize what are those things that we need to be working on and just letting go of. What must die in our lives so that we can see you more clearly? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.